approach that was set. When we decided to report an apology from Honorable Paola, and then Honorable Cook with an engage to joining us here. Last apology from Honorable Mabe.
I think that we already know what other people have just created the meeting in the department, so I don't think there will be a group to introduce one another, not unless they are people that are in this meeting for the first time. So our side, there is no new member. I don't know from the head of the department, either official, but they have not been with us before.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'm Sugile Christopher Moses M. Barlow, Acting Deputy Director, Director Skills Development Branch.
Are there any representatives for the meeting?
Yes. Not from the media. Oh, good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Ben Wes, I'm the Chief Director of the Department of Agriculture, and I'm the responsible for program development.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honorable Members. I'm Saroj Patel, Deputy Director of Jam for Family.
Okay, thank you for the introduction. This year, as I explained, we are very happy to have engagement in the Department of Agriculture. This year, we are going to be engaging you with regards to your annual report that we've seen. But maybe we're going to do that. You do an audition behind your voice on that department. A vacuum is established by the vacuum. We have done a great development way. However, we do note as you read your report that as you progress, there will be challenges. Some of them could be avoided, but some of them are challenges that have to keep solutions moving forward. We know that your commandment is to ensure that you deliver cultural education, vocational and skills development in line with the requirements of the market out there. So we believe that you are being led and as you proceed, those challenges. We do also observe that you set yourself targets in various programs of your department. Some of them we are able to meet, but there are quite a number of them that we have not been able to meet. I particularly want to refer to your program 4, where I did observe that I read the presentation about the target has not been met, but the budget has been exhausted. In all the other programs, one could observe that the target was met as you have desired when you actually put them on there. The other issue that I want maybe to clarify on also the number of students from the issue of experts. It worries us that when we met the entity, they did express that they don't have enough. Maybe the money that they get allocated is about 50% of what they really need to have in order to actually address the needs of the students in education. And then the issue also of the junior colleges that are under administration. We know that some of them have actually been assisted by your department to move out of the mode of being under administration. But we have quite a lot of them that are still under administration and make no progress also in that regard. other issue is the audit opinion of the eventuality, about 50%. We know it with concern, great concern, that some of them are cutting. For instance, I'm looking up at one, the immediate. They had an unqualified report with findings, but now they've put a disclaimer. The DABA is the same scenario, that means the same scenario, Swane and various others. So we think that with respect to what kind of support are they given by the department when they are short of space to manage the finances of the institution. The issue of accommodation, we know that the maintenance has seen that was to look at the accommodation in the universities. It's the same being done for a disability or senior community. The certification of the entity level, the target or the rate of decline, we get clarity on this as well. The rate of the disability change is declining. The issue of the lecturer, this is a complication. I noted that there is some of the 2 million that has been sent in previous year, it was 18 million. The issue of their employment being under the auspices of the committee, but in terms of the presidential directive, that's supposed to be under the administration of the Department of Education and Training. Rather than the issue, there are different categories of people. We get the sense that there are those that are in the background of the province, of the department in the province. There are those that are civilized, but are protected. In other words, when we are in, we are sure that we will be going back to the colleges to continue. There are those that are employed but are not protected. At the end of the year, they are getting letters to think that the services have ended and their faith is not determined or they are not sure of their future. So those are the issues that we need to get clarity on the year. The performance in relative and planning, what strategies does the department get to ensure that the improvement in relative and planning is in the university? Because one gets the sense that they don't get their decision if there is one subject that they are always. So if they've got difficulty in performing in math, then it means their qualification is different. And then the compliance with various pieces of legislation. By the department, where for instance, the funded the activities that are acting for a long time, why is it that they are not processed and finalized within the specified period? Those are all issues. Maybe as you do your presentation, you could actually try to address that response to. Without any further resources, I will hand over to you.
Thank you very much, with the challenging opening remarks, as well as acknowledging some strides and developments that have taken place in the course of education and training. I will foreground the presentation, of which we'll open this down as over, so that we can be able to speak to the pertinent issues that are affecting each and every sector or component of the system. And the a number of questions that you have raised are actually pertinent to certain programs, and we respond to them and clarify quite in detail or substantially as we get along with the activity, with the presentation. But others are cross-cutting. But we attend to them as well. So in the name, our department has got some key key statistical that was developed out of the analysis and conceptualization of the departments into being a post-school education and training system, which actually means our mandate is that for everybody who is not at school, irrespective of the level, and that country has opted out of the school. Those who have done matric, those who have done, those who never went to school, it's our responsibility. Now, our strategic goals are to increase the number of kids by expanding access to education and training, to adequate capacity to individual institutions to effectively provide or facilitate learning in all aspects, that we increase the number of students successfully entering the labor market upon completion of their training, so that we don't train for unemployment, we train our youth with the tool of getting into employment at the end of their process of training, to expand research, development and innovation capacity for economic growth and social development. To create a college curriculum that is responsive to the demands of the marketplace and can transform and adapt people and effectively to changing skills needs, with a special emphasis on artisans training. This is an area that we neglected for quite some time, because our schooling system in the main was more concentrated at normal schooling up to grade 12. Then thereafter, you have to go for university. But universities, by their very nature, are elite institutions. They play a particular role, but not the totality of the need of skills and expertise of the country. Hence, the emphasis now is training at intermediate level, the training of artisans, technicians, as well as technologists. That's why we are putting a lot of effort in revising and developing technical and vocational education in quality, so that they are able to close that gap and ignite growth in the economy. It's also to develop a credible institutional mechanism of skills planning to support an inclusive economic growth path, to sustain a highly effective, professional, efficient administration informed by good corporate governance practices in the entire post-school education and training system. Now, during the year under future, the expansion of the post-school education and training opportunities remains the key focus for the citizens of the country, especially our youth. The following are some of the key milestones that were achieved during the year under the launch of the white paper for post-school education and training, the publication of the policy for the provision of education in South African universities, because our belief is that we are not going to be able to address the challenges of the country so far as skills needs are concerned only through contact and need. We have to diversify offering of programs and qualifications within the group with the requisite support needs of each. The policy framework for differentiating of the higher education and training system. Our belief is that our institutions should not think to be like the other within and among them. They should be able to diversify their program offering in a differentiated fashion. A policy for generic national artisan learner grants, grant funding and administration systems. The establishment of the two new universities, named Salt Lake University and University of Mpumala, is a key in the expansion of the system. But there is also a third university of health and allied science. We call it the Park of Akhazi. It has been established in and Aqua fixed image the Medusa campus and it becomes the nucleus of the establishment of a new university of health and allied science. That is in progress right now. The establishment of the National Institute for Humanities and Social Sciences with the goal of developing the capacity of the country to have a niche in the first world. We also declared 2013 as the year of the advocacy. Advocacy programs were rolled out in all 9 provinces, targeting young people. The success of programs has necessitated the department to expand and achieve 2024 and will be known as the decade of the advocacy. So we are putting a lot of effort and focus on this one so that we are able to concentrate our community and society at large about the importance of technical and vocational education and training policies in respect to a whole range of skills that are being trained that could be acquired in there. Of course, they play an important role in society in their own right. For instance, this year was a plan in progress. You don't look for a professor. You want somebody who could be able to take that plan in progress. And these are the areas that we neglected for quite some time. And in a way, we believe it is very important. And it's important, therefore, to ensure that we balance our skills offered across the entire system without neglecting the world. So we want to elevate the role of civil colleges to be the quality of best choice by the citizens of the country. The National Artisan Development Database has been developed, extended the higher education and trade aid program to colleges. It was a program that was only concentrated at universities, but we felt it would be important to extend it to all colleges because it's quite important to educate our communities, especially our students, about HIV and AIDS, which is a critical component of ensuring that our society lives sustained life period. We also placed strong emphasis on career guidance. Exhibitions increased in number and the quantity and quality of information that was made available to learners also improved. A national career advice portal was developed and in full use at the present moment. There were 5 pilot programs during the year under review, which had combined total of 127 learning cycles, of which 82 of those targets were achieved. That is 65%. That is within the time period of the year under review, up to the 31st March 2014. In as much as after that, quite a number of targets that are lagging behind have been achieved thus far. But we're focusing on the year under review. So 35% of those targets were not achieved. In respect to targets that were not achieved, the annual report provides a detailed on strategies to deal with the underperformance in respect of those programs. And as the presentation unfolds, there will be clarification on those issues as well. In regard to network tests, well, I think this is an important point. The National Student Financial Aid Fee has increased quite substantially since 2009. For instance, by 2010, colleges were having only about 380 million for that purpose. That amount has increased today to 2020 grants, it moved from 318 to 1.2 billion. And from 2012, it has increased many fold to the over 2 billion at the present moment. Same applies to the university as well. But some of the catchment challenges that are confronted are in this case. One, we have picked up that there are growth inefficiencies in some respects in the institutions and worse in quality, whereby students who are not qualified to get this assistance, they cause information, collaborating at times with their parents, and at times with the administrators of the fund in institutions. To such an extent that our investigation discovered that in the previous system alone, the error rate of our disease bursary is around 50% on the ground. It differs, colleagues. Motio for ESG colleagues, for instance, there it was about 70% the error rate because of the collusion between administrators, staff members, students, and some other people or service providers out there in society. And these practices are actually defeating the noble objective of government, in ensuring that those who are in need and academically capable are able to be accepted. At universities as well, there are some inefficiencies that were picked up. That is why the minister has pronounced on the investigation, a forensic investigation we are undertaking across the entire country. We should be appointing a service provider quite soon because we want to establish the extent to which this kind of practice is happening and its impact in denying students who are deserving the opportunity to access this. So the exact process is which is unfolding at the present moment. But we also acknowledge that as much as this money has actually increased, because it's just over 9.9 billion at the present moment, which is quite substantial. If it could be efficiently and effectively applied, it would really cover quite substantial costs. Indeed, it may not be sufficient. But what is difficult, the impact it could be making against practices that are undesirable are just hindered. You know, at this stage, I give over corporate services to present on program one.
Thank you. Key achievements of the program as well as the strategies that we have put in place to be area to we're going to achieve. Let me start by saying that for the year under review, we had the two targets that were set, 17 of which were achieved at 5 were not achieved by the end of the financial year. I do want to begin by saying that one of those was then achieved in the third quarter of the new financial year. In regards to the key achievements of the program, we have set target that we will achieve a level 2 in terms of the ICT governance maturity in line with the ESA framework on ICT governance. We over exceeded our target here by starting actually to achieve. So we implemented level 1, we moved to level 2, and we started developing systems and policies in terms of level 3 of the framework. The second one is the retention rate chairperson. As we all know, that the government has set a target that we should just bring the retention rate across government. the excitement in the air allows you to move from 11% to 7.11%. Our target was 10%, so we exceeded our target. I'm sure at a later stage the DJ will shed some light on your comment in regard to the DDT later. But I do want to say that it is not out of the, you know, a lack of the will of trying to fill them to the campus. There has been efforts to fill the vacancies. However, every time we make offers, you find that studies don't accept for a number of reasons. But one of the key reasons is that you know one better offers. And since that means we have a set limit that we should can offer the sellers. So that's one of the reasons why it has not been possible for the department to feel, for instance, the difficult situation. The minister, however, is in the process of saying, you know, cleaning the two vacancies before the end of the year. In regard to the period it takes to fill vacancies, government has set a target of 4 months, and we did achieve that target on average. Can I also say that on the question of vacancies, that the department has also had to, you know, take over the filling of vacancies in Chile College from 1 April 2016, in line with the Act. And when we took over, we inherited 600 vacancies in Chile College, composed of principals and deputy principals. And by the end of the year, we had 307 options, 9 of which were a question and code. But they are not included in the figures because they still lie with the provincial consultants. The next area is the average number of days to resolve disciplinary cases. The target here that has been set by government, the department exceeded that target because we resolved 6 cases that we had last year within 7-4 days. And for the 6 cases, I do want to say that 3 were dismissed, 1 was a suspension without pay, and 2 were given time out between warnings. And they were all resolved within 7-4 days. On strategies to deal with areas of underachievement, these areas are as follows. Network connectivity. We we managed to achieve 99.5% as opposed to 100%, which is our target. And the reason for that in here is that there was a power failure in Africa itself, so it was an entire government program, which accounts for the 0.5% that was not achieved by the department. On our side, we are trying our level best to meet the target. We embrace, for instance, the service provider who assists the department in managing the ICT support and to manage our network. The next one is the performance management and development system. This continues to be a challenge assessment in the department. However, I do want to highlight that in as far as the SMS members, we did reach a target of 100%. This relates to meeting the deadlines in regard to the signing of performance agreements, but also in regard to collecting quarterly assessments. So for SMS members, we let the deadline for levels below SMS members. That is where we have a shortfall of 5%. What we're doing at SMS here, we have set up the most systems in place. On a quarterly basis, we send reminders to managers to, you know, to honor the deadline, but we are also now deciding in regard to taking action on the part of those employees and supervisors who are not meeting the deadline. The next one is the payment of invoices within the prescribed time frame. The relevant target here is 30 days for the payment of invoices. The department set wanted to actually beat that target of 30 days. We set a target of 28 days. Unfortunately, we did not need 28 days, but we met 30 days. So I would say we issued ourselves the only foot short by trying to be, you know, to be smart. Because our aim is not only to comply with 30 days, but to do the challenge 30 days. The next one is the identification of consequences and putting up any warning systems. Due to the lack of capacity at the time, we did not have We have now established that unit in November last year. We set up a unit, and by the end of the third quarter in 2014, we had the risk management policy. We had done our strategic risk assessment. We also complied with the fraud and prevention policies, and we had the fraud prevention plan in place. So as the tiger was saying, that we managed to meet in the first quarter of the new financial year. The last area which is not for the board is in regard to the signing of the agreement with donors, in regard to bilateral agreements. We have not reported on that one because of the decentralized approach of dealing with the bilateral agreement. So it is not managed within the branch, but the various branches are managing those agreements. So this is important.
The process followed in regards to the submitted to the Road of Quality Process and Set Line. There was also a monitoring report which was finalized and approved after 31st of March. Jacobson, one of the targets was in the way that it was raised. We put it in our plan that if the minister wants to issue ministerial guidelines, then we will assist in that particular process. The NPF Act requires the minister to publish guidelines. We set up government strategy and priorities for the NPF, which may be updated annually. These are also dependent on the availability of resources when the minister directs on these agreements between the sector and the NPF. So that was a practical issue. Then the last target that was not achieved in the 31st March was the database of international engagements of all public post-school institutions. We had a serious IT problem, which was not of our making, but of the state IT agency, in regards to data and the ability to make with that data. But subsequently, they only allocated the resource in November 2013, but since then surveys have been submitted to the universities and updating it other way. So that is one that is in process. It was also raised in your opening remarks the issue around the functions and the function shift. If I may just give a very short background, it's correct that in 2009 the President had proper data to the old Department of Education as a truth. That proclamation did not in any way imply that there was a shift of function from provincial to national. It was only at national level that one minister's functions were split into two. However, in view of the fact that we had a separate Department of Higher Education and Training, and that adult education is just a concurrent provincial function as well as NDP, the NECs have indicated to the minister that it would make logical sense that the minister takes national responsibility for higher education and that they could focus on this. So in 2010 there was an amendment where we just have to change the nomenclature, replace the old Department of Education with Department of Higher Education and Training, Minister of Education with Minister of Higher Education and Training. We then went, in terms of the reorganization of the state, there were constitutional and legislative matters that we had to deal with. Number one is that we had to amend, firstly, the first prize that the MEC had agreed to is that we amend the constitution by removing ALEC and MEC as a concurrent function with offices and national capabilities, so that way it will only be a national function. So that was done with the Department of Justice. After the 18th Amendment, Constitutional Amendment, was put before the Portfolio Committee in both, through the Committee of Parliament, which was approved, it has to be tabled in the House. In 2011, the responsibility in legislation for student AF was given to the minister. Whenever we saw MEC was replaced by a minister, whenever there was a department was replaced by the DG. However, Chairperson, and this is a very, very important point, that 2011 legislation, it went to the House in 2011, both the Houses, but it was enacted in 2013, had a subject clause. So the legislation was ready. The legislation was not in effect until the minister was satisfied that he had the resources in order to perform it. So up to now, both adult education as well as APT in certain matters are the in legislation are the responsibility of provincial government. Because structure works with the issue that you can only take full accountability when you have the resources allocated. And no resources have been shipped. Then in 2012, which was enacted in 2013, another substantial piece of legislation passed through the two houses, and that is the FET Amendment Act 2013. And what it does, it created two institutional forms of colleges, TILEC and Community Education and Training Colleges. It introduced SISEC. It could repeal the
Trump Education Act. But again, this legislation is transition measures. So if people really act out really the transitional measures, they'll think Mr. Higher Education is now accountable in law, etc. That's not the case. There are transitional measures that have to be enacted. And in this act, it is only the president, the proclamation world, to say that these clauses come into effect. So enough education saving currently as we speak is 100% responsibility of provincial education department. The department does not have 1 cent allocated to the interval of managing the system. However, in 2013, the minister did release some provisions of the Equity Act where the minister took over power. So for example, the appointment of principal and deputy principal, but that was an outfund. Secondly was the appointment of councils, and that also no funds were principally allocated. But even as we talk currently, the employment of equity staff in Office of Provincial Education Department of Supervision and Control over this function are a provincial competency, and all staff, bachelor staff employed, are still employed by the college itself to manage ourselves. Now, a quick process forward. Finally, gentlemen, the Minister of Finance, and through the parliamentary processes, they have now formally approved the shifting of funds from the 1st of April 2015. So now the funds are over. The President has been requested. The President has already effected, for example, giving the powers of extension of military policy to the Minister. But finally, the President is in the process of considering a proclamation to completely review the AN Act, put all the functions over to the Minister, with effect the 1st of April 2015. So I just want to place these matters in context. So everything, all legislative processes will be in the hands of the Minister only on 1st of April 2015. Thank you very much.
The purpose of sovereignty is really important. It wants to develop a coordinated policy and a legislative framework for citizens and discussion with the citizens. So to provide financial support to universities, the National Student Management Scheme, and the National Institute for Higher Education. The main focus of the purpose of partnership is an identity of our show that out of a total of 54 targets, 23 targets have been achieved while it is in the going on for 2 years. In terms of the key achievement that was reported was that the student is coming enrollment. The student is coming enrollment because the key establishment reached 963,300 in 2012 and the addition to this both full-time and part-time enrollment for contact practice and studies. Other achievements was the 19.2 year gun enrollment over the population 20 to 24 years, which also brought the participation rate of admission to university, and it was actually achieved with 1.3% above the target. Important addition I've spoken about it was the establishment of the two public higher education institutes, universities that were established in August 2013, the University and the University of Okanagan. It's about to these universities, each university has a 10-year development plan, which is currently underway. And then, in terms of other targets that were achieved, 602,000 from the role at the university, represent an increase of 8,850 more than the target. What's really interesting is that we have 554,840,000 female students in the role at the university, and about 60% of the student population is among 60% of the student population is still of the enrollment. And then the subject that the students enrolled in higher education study in the public institutions wanted to be in terms of the other policies with regards to the graduate engineering science, 9,934, that in our policy on adult education, was defeated in June 2014,
through the
candidates who Torah achieved. And one of these candidates was the fact we were not able to constitute the Tibet College Council at some time. But today that has already been done. All colleges have fully constituted councils. And also, what we would not do is then take them through training so they understand the attribution role as the governance structure of colleges. And then we also put them through training. And during the course of this presentation also, we will see that with respect to college campuses, we are indicating where those campuses are, and we will also indicate how far we have gone during the course of the presentation. And with regard to business management system, we have actually published the business management system standards so that colleges should not use a prescribed software or system, but they must prepare data to the and send data to the department in a format that is prescribed by the department. The FET colleges offer level 5 and 6 programs. The rationale for this objective was and still is a number of our students passing at colleges, they qualify to continue in terms of matriculation at 3 level, while a higher certificate, diploma, and degree. And very few of our students pass at the level of the degree and better the level of the diploma. And however, you find that there is a gap. Universities, all universities go for degrees, and then there is a gap at the level of the higher certificate and certificate. While this target was not achieved during the year under review, but it has since been achieved through the collaboration with the University of South Africa to offer higher certificate qualifications. And I think 5 colleges have signed a memorandum with the University of South Africa in order to offer this higher certificate at any level 5 in order to enhance articulation into the diploma or degree program. The student performance and certification rate chair as the question that you raised before. This is also the work in progress. First, we had to deal with the problem is to establish standards of what, at what level a TUET college lecturer be qualified. Because the research has shown that a number of lecturers in the system are not qualified either in the area of artisan development or in the area of teaching at a technical education and training facility. Because most of our lecturers basically were trained as school teachers, but they have no experience in the technical and vocational education training environment. And some of our lecturers do not have the pedagogy, in other words, the ability to teach, just to engage with the students at different levels of cognitive and psychosocial development. And therefore that chair policy is in place. I think about 10 universities are beginning to develop programs to train lecturers in this regard. But also, another variable here is the quality of the student. The quality of the student who comes into the TIVET system, really requires a year to adapt to the college system. And in the past, the TIVET environment was basically in many instances for post-matriculants, but of late we're admitting students who are almost just finished grade 9. And that requires a certain degree of self-discipline, a certain degree of understanding the TIVET college system. Now, what we are doing also is to ensure that at the entrance, we take the student through a selection and placement program so that they are placed in appropriate programs for which they have the aptitude. But this is going to take us quite a while. And also, the sector during the year under review was linked with a lot of industrial action. about either on the side of the students which in some cases were related with how they perceived the allocation of presence to them. And that took a note. But also it is important to note I've been married to engage probably at some other time, and I think that is why there is diversification of institutional hope. That when in a very short period of time you expand the system at this rate, what impact does it have in your own system to cope with the rate at which it is expanding? And particularly with regard to infrastructure, with regard to lecturer capacity, and so on and so on. With regard to the NASCAR, basically the delay was in the formulation of the qualification, but that formulation of the qualification has been concluded and has been done, and we are now doing a curriculum development, and very shortly we will be developing lecturers. American National Certificate Orientation, which was meant to be a foundational program for students who build their maths and science capacity as they build the coming to college system. And this, there was a change in the strategy that we must strengthen so that we use the subject in the GETC at equity college level, the science of the GETC and the maths of the GETC at college level in order to strengthen the quality of the maths capacity of the learners who come into the system. With regard to the certification rate of bachelor's recipients, theoretically, the bachelor's recipient average pass rate should be better than the general. If the rules of awarding bachelor's are adhered to the letter, because the rules are you must be financially needy, but you must have academic, you must be deserving of academic. But what has happened is the fact that these bachelors have found their way to students who are not necessarily academically deserving. They may be needy in terms of finances, but they are not academically deserving. And as a result, their pass average is not significant from the general average. That is also what as we indicated, but that's what we are trying to correct, to make sure that we reduce the error rate of better allocations to people who are not needing. Slide number 26 is an update on TVET college infrastructure. It indicates the province where the new infrastructure will be built, and it indicates where the which college new campus will be linked, and it indicates the locality where the new campus will be based, and it also indicates what will influence the program. And the numbers right at the end refer to the seating capacity of each campus. The list shows both new infrastructure, with the exception of two areas where there will be refurbishment, which is Longmore Mobile Gazi and the Friday campuses. And those are refurbishments, not completely new institutions, but the rest of these are new institutions. And today, the Babanani campus in the Sosonke district and the Nkandla A campus and the one in Pretasto, that there the work has already started. However, in the other campuses, we publish tenders and which are being evaluated now so that the conclusion of the program can make proper awards, and then the work of construction starts as well in those campuses. That was combination of hope, slide 26 and slide 27. With regard to slide 28, is a commitment by the minister to pilot the establishment of community colleges in order to give adult education a new perspective. Classically, adult education has been about learning to read, learning to write, the minister always called the now, we are changing the paradigm so that it is not just an academic problem. It is a holy developmental approach which integrates all those who need to be taught how to read and write, and also those who want to be skilled in particular areas so that they can be able to then align with true success. In other words, it's going to be an integration of the existing adult education centers under new community colleges, and at that point we can roll out the piloting while we are receiving the consent from the provinces. I would like to pause there. The problem.
Can you take program 5?
Maybe before they begin, just in case there's a lot of side questions, we are definitely taking it from the television administration because the minister has just been very generous.
Thank you very much, DJ. Honorable Chairperson Hemas, we did make an opportunity. This is Program 5, Skills Development. The purpose is to promote and monitor the National Skills Development Strategy. The targets that we set for the year have been under review, with the in target achieved with 10, not achieved with 10. Key achievements: 27,670 academic candidates entering learning nationally. Our target there was 26,000. So we exceeded by 1670. 18,110 academic candidates found competent nationally. The target was also exceeded by 6110. Our target there was 12,000 per annum. 27,346 graduates receiving working graduated training, also that target was exceeded by 67, the target was 27,279. All schools have received 4 partnership agreements with public human colleges and universities, also that target was achieved overwhelmingly. Lastly, all schools implementing NSDS 3 with approved service level agreement and report produced, also that target was achieved. For 8% national artists and learners passed trade test by 2013-14, so that target was not achieved, but then of course I can just indicate that in the second quarter of this year we managed to make up 50%, 52% of our targets achieving it, and then also we are planning to have a trade test pass the rate improvement strategy workshop that is going to be held in December with various stakeholders, business, labor, teammates, universities, international labor organizations, as well as University of Bremen in Germany to develop a strategy just on that agenda. Secure trade testing system developed and implemented at all trade test centers. That target was not achieved by the 1st March 2014. So we can say now we are prepared because we completed the design of trade test system process, and then we are preparing to pilot that by 1st April 2015. Skills and critical skills list compliance, so that was also not achieved by the 1st March 2014. But then we can say confidently so that target has been achieved now. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
In terms of financial information, our focuses on the report of the audit general. The department is the chief and unemployed part of audit opinion. According to the audit general, I did bring to all committees of parliament of the outcome of audits, and you can see that also applies one of the APIs, one or two of the annual reports. Legal action plans have been developed to address the matters raised by the audit general, and some of these are described above. That's in the next slide. The first one, significant uncertainties. This relates to the department's involvement in lawsuits mainly, and that's addressed every year and discussed in the financial statements as a contingent liability and we deal with it through our legal services and the Office of the State Attorney. As long as we have lawsuits or any kind of court case that Mr. may be involved, this will be reflected in the financial statements and it will be referred to as a matter by the agent. On the next slide, the issue around the compliance with laws and legislation refers specifically, first of all, to strategic planning and performance management. And in this regard, the IG especially raised the reliability of some of the performance information that was reported. This is receiving attention and the department is currently in process to procure an appropriate system that's also available in other departments to collect, verify and store performance information, and we hope that that will address the issues raised by the Auditor General. With regards to the annual financial statements on the next slide, the misstatements identified by the AG that was corrected, these were areas where there were the disputes between the department and the Auditor General on the disclosure of certain items within the financial statements. There were five areas where we had disputes with the AG, and after meetings with National Treasury, it was agreed that the department would correct in three of those areas and two of the areas National Treasury, although they agreed with the manner in which we dealt with the issues in the financial statements, but also acknowledged the views of the Auditor General, and we don't agree that we will adjust it in terms of the way in which the AG wants it to be. This is not really errors, but it is more interpretation issues in terms of the specific guidelines for the financial statements. Then we look at HR and compensation. This is mainly relating to the verification processes when the staff are employed in terms of their qualifications. There is currently an agreement with SAPA on the verification of application qualifications. There is a backlog, mainly within the department, and that's being processed at the moment, and we also review the policies of the department accordingly. In terms of procurement and contract management, this is specifically where officials perform or are involved in businesses that perform remunerated work outside their employment, and five staff members were identified in this respect, and for all five staff members disciplinary action is in process and this were issued. So those are managed by the HR department. The other issue in terms of procurement and contract management raised by the AG is also the management of consultants. And we are now giving specific attention to that to ensure that the relevant office that appoints a consultant manages them according to specific procedure and that there are detailed reports when payments are made to consultants. In terms of the action plan further change, the audit findings, first of all, the areas raised in the audit report have been included in the audit action plan. We also have a second action plan, which we refer to as ministerial commitments to the Auditor General. In that respect, the Minister had a separate meeting with the Auditor General, and apart from issues raised by the IG during the audit, there were also additional matters that the IG raised directly with the Minister, which they requested the Minister to attend to, and we have a separate action plan also to address those areas. There's not currently progress, it's very little because it's only a month or so after the finalisation of the audit and the report is on route to the Minister and the DG first report on the action plan. In terms of the actual financial outcome for the 2013-14 financial year, the next two slides give an indication of the spending patterns of the department for that financial year. The first one being per program,
And as you can see, Jay, that we almost spent all our money. You did also refer to that at the beginning of the meeting. We only had a sizing of 1.9 million rand. And that 1.9 million were on very minor items. The last two slides of the presentation do explain that. It's mainly where posts were not sold, and also then based on that, that the necessary equipment and the fridges or stationery and those kinds of expenditure related to that specific position. We had to ensure that the department do not overspend. We had to apply very strict cost containment measures to limit the underspending and to ensure that there's no overspending. One of the key areas where we did shift money towards was for examination services. Examination services, which is under Program 4, has relatively huge expenditure during the exam period, especially on examination moderation, especially on the printing of exam papers, and as a result, we had to assist our examination services under Program 4. So partly to address your question raised earlier, when you started the meeting and you indicated that although all the programs did not meet all their targets, they did not spend, or they did almost spend all the money. That is true, and furthermore, where there were savings due to targets not met, those savings were moved to assist our examination services and ensure that the examinations are conducted successfully. So that's part of the reason there. In terms of the second table, if you can just go to slides backwards, please. There you can see the spending trends for economic classification, and you'll see that on compensation of employees, basically almost all the money was spent, the underpending, the delayed filling of some posts, goods and services mainly spent in full. Then under transfer payments, just to highlight, the first item, provinces and municipalities, that is the conditional grant for our TVET colleges in the provinces. All the money were transferred. In this respect, Jay, you also mentioned the understanding at the college level in terms of the appointments of staff. And I think that Mr. Patel indicated previously this money was still managed by other provinces. That money is not lost for government as a whole. The money was required to be given back to the National Revenue Fund, but National Treasury. So the money is back there. We did, in fact, as department, apply to Treasury for those funds to be rolled over back to us. Due to the function shift, we have not yet received an official response in that respect. In terms of departmental agencies and the towns, those are mainly the payments to our various CFAs and NSF and some of our public entities. And then you can see also that all the subsidies were paid to universities. Then in terms of the last two slides, I think that was explained already, just referring to some of the key reasons for the underspending per program. And as I indicated, the majority of those linked to some of the costs that were not filled by the interest foundation. Thank you, Chief.
No, thank you very much. I think it is important for us to address some of the issues that we raised at the beginning. For instance, in regard to the policies that are under administration at the moment, there is no policy under administration at the moment. They are all on output arrangements throughout the country. The work that the EG did in 15 policies, I think that is, as part of the turnaround strategy by the department of the TVET sector in the country, one of the things that we did, we appointed in partnership with FICA
charter accountant to all 50 different colleges with a view of looking quite closely on the financial environment, processes, systems and practices in each and every college, so that we are able to understand what is the nature of risk there is as we are investing money, because there are things that we pick up on our own. So that program has worked and still working quite very well. In many instances, it directed us into conducting forensic investigations in some colleges where, after completion, those were indicated, were charged, and others were dismissed in the process. Secondly, we had to conduct forensic investigations in a couple of them as a result of being alerted, among others, by those in CS schools. The third area, the minister requested AD to take interest in what is happening in the CS environment, because AD was not auditing colleagues. So the minister approached them and requested that, you know, they have to undertake this responsibility. Now, based on their capacity, that is 18, they're saying they will be able to look only at 50 colleges at the present moment, which they've undertaken that action and gave us a report. Out of the report that we got from the 18, we developed then a well-crafted circular. We went out to all different colleges and put action plans in each and every area that has been identified by DG in terms of asset risk, in terms of the management of finances in each and every college. Then we're monitoring them on those pages. I think a copy of that schedule can be made available to the members of the committee. I'll ask the office to make that follow up, because that is the basis on which we will be monitoring. Because the key thing was that there is a lack of control environment, especially in finances, in a number of children's colleges. Now, we want to professionalize and strengthen the control environment in them. So, on that development, there is a policy that has been passed. So far as the training of lecturers in the CBS environment, apart the development short program that we are enjoying at the present moment. So I think it's with those who have really thanked the portfolio committee for engaging and highlighting areas that we need to pay attention to as a department, of which we'll certainly do from this meeting going forward. Thank you.
So thank you very much, PG, and all the officials that have made presentations this morning. On the basis of the presentations, then I'll offer the opportunity to remember to engage your presentation by way of comments or questions. Because it is on the social level.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. For that speech, I want to mention that, of course, as a point of departure, I think we must compliment the work that has been done by the department, which is very good, since we established our crisis. And also, in terms of the financial standing of the department, it's good to see that we've got a few audits. But, of course, we should make the complaint that there are many children's colleges that are still facing serious financial, serious financial challenges in regard to the issue of fee audit and all of that. If you look at the 15 different children's colleges, it's only one out of them that is achieved and qualified audit opinions on the AG. So my interest, of course, is that what is the department because of the team of the Department of National to achieve the fee audit. So when you go down to the different colleges and all of that, what is it that you can do to assist the different colleges? When I think already started and all of that, because the said we are supposed to travel from as far as the country and so on, because even places they don't have accommodation which they can provide for them. So the major challenge is that I don't know whether the department has actually marked all the bodies just to check throughout the country or a survey just to say this is the challenge that we are facing in the different provinces in relation to accommodation. And then for us to be able to address the challenges, this is the number of accommodation that we require for all these people that come to see. So I would also look at that, if the department has any comment and if it also to answer the comments, how do you intend to deal with such challenges. And then my last issue, of course, is around the lack of the issue of mathematics in the different different communities. If you project around the different LGBT levels, you find out that the trick, the net at the different Tibet colleges remain the challenge, because most of the children, and if you pass one, and if you fail one subject at the Tibet college, you don't get certificate. And the students, they are there, they are studying, they fail this math, they are able to get their different certificates, which contributes to the issue of a significant dropout rate, because they are there for 3 years, they can't get their certificates because of math or any other subjects. And they tend to drop out and back on current class. So I would also like to know, is there any plan that impacted us to assist the dual courses in the government? So my last issue, of course, I don't want to speak too much, let me be to another of the members.
So thank you very much, and my greetings to DG and the team. And please welcome the presentation, DG, and appreciate the good work that the department is doing. But I want to start off by the thing of the analogy thing. But that is what we are expecting, DG. It's 2014. The target was that all departments, including our commission and studies, thinking of its budget, if we are comfortable that you are teaching it and unqualified. That we have a comfort as a committee, but we are looking forward for the department to get a great orientation possible. And we are not expecting a regression. Please, DJ, we don't want to go there. Let's try and maintain and move forward and get a great orientation. I want to say, on the chair, this department is one of the most important departments in this country. Where we are teaching, we are more interested to know what skills the requirements are in the country. So it's not like in the basic education, where you are more interested in the country, especially at the teaching level. Here, we're talking about the skills requirements of the country, which the department must try to provide for the country to move forward. Your program number two is a most important program. It does what it's supposed to do in the work. It's your engine. Not only the engine of the department, it's also the engine of the country. In terms of directing the country in terms of the skills requirement of the country. One is expecting, which I did not pick up, the sense in terms of research. Where are we supposed to move? We're supposed to move from a sentence that says, in the country, these are the tough skills, and this is what you are doing as a department. Who did you will not be able to do that, but you are supposed to support the DG in terms of providing that information. I think that is one of the areas. And also in terms of your work as planning, monitoring and evaluation, I could not pick up where you are monitoring other units in the department. All what I picked up from your report is what you have been raising here. The
it's very difficult to monitor because people don't want to be monitored. I'm not saying that. They don't want to be monitored. So CG is supposed to support you in that area, because if you don't, we will see what you are seeing today, that you targeted 127, but you only achieved 82. I was supposed to get from your report why these other targets were not achieved, because you are monitoring the entire one. You were supposed to pick up from your report, but it did not come up. So I think that's one area DG that you want strengthened, and they will need your support, because other DGs will not want to be monitored. So it's normal. It's normal for them to strengthen that area. But what I have also known with the planning and unit and MLA, they don't feel that you work together if they want them, because you can't go directly in the place. MLA is supposed to monitor the place. I don't know how it's done yet. But I think that area needs to be strengthened. I'm also more interested in the role of the department in the story of Sandy. I raised it as a related department. When we did the MP, the minister by then, he would always use the story of Sandy from the beginning when Sandy is born, from the coffee minute until when Sandy starts breaking. What role are you playing? One, you cannot play a role alone. You need to get a fit from basic education. But when students are with you now, how do you know that they make their skills to the last stage? Do you have a system, IT system, we're talking about problem two. Can we have that element of tracing those students who come to the university? Do we know how many jobs do we have? Okay, we celebrate that we have, I was trying to talk to the two partners because they're dealing with one, more or less one area. We celebrate that we have a high quality for education. But how many children reach it to make it to the higher education? Some will go to private, but those that you are talking and government, how many students do they come to us? How many do they finish? And where do they go? So that area, I think we must also try to see what role can you play in chasing the children as it was anticipated or explained during the time story. So I'm just indicating that the issue of MNE, that is very much critical, but I'm not picking up what they're supposed to be doing. Maybe we can strengthen that. In terms of the budget, if you implemented all your chances in the huge the overspending this time, because you did not achieve 45 targets, which you appreciate 55, but if you look at the money left, 1.9, I don't think it was going to be enough to implement your target plus the people who were not employed. I was looking at the program. Most of the residents are saying, because of the understand because we did not have employed, the people are not employed. No, that 1.9 is not even enough for the two DGs that are not appointed. I'm not talking about the other staff members that are not employed. Meaning that it's either you underestimated during the budget process, because most of the time we think that money was used quite maybe because at the planning level there was underestimation. Maybe underestimated. CFO, I don't know the CFO, but the person reported on finance, spoke about money that was transferred to the regulation committee. Why did you not budget for that? Part of your department, why was it not budgeted from the beginning? I'm asking whether I'm an outsider. In terms, if there was good planning, those information that you're talking about, they were supposed to be budgeted from the beginning. So, that's one area, Chair, that I thought I should raise, that if the department was not, if they implemented all their targets, they would be underspending, overspending. But I just want to say that it's good to overachieve, but it should be balanced with the budget that you have. Otherwise, you do things that you don't have money to do, because I've noticed in some of the presentations that they have exceeded our target. is not accepted and required money. The question is, where do you get money to do those things that you're not supposed to do in this particular tradition? It's a question of funds. You say, how much money do I have? I can't buy a car and build a house this day, yet I have money for the house only. The question of balancing if you implement this program. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair Kupan. And thank you for the presentation and for the unqualified report from the Auditor General. But Chair, I don't know if I'm confused. Maybe the opinions of yesterday are still in my I'm trying to look at the report, and what comes into my mind is that it's an annual report. But it's not clear for me as to what was the strategic plan, what was the HEP, the whole thing, how does it relate to the budget that we give and the budget that we set for the service. I'm looking at the strategic goals. I'm actually asking myself whether the strategic goals are the strategic goals that you had in your strategic plan. Whether the strategic goals that you are giving, they actually interrelate with the strategic planning, whereby from the strategic planning you are able to come up with your HP in alignment with the budget and the target that you set for yourself. And as the member said, with the target that you want to achieve, The presentation is not clear as to what actually happened, that those targets were not achieved. And I see again on page 9, we have actually a... page 9. Wait. No, it's not page 9. I don't know if I thought I marked page 9, but it's not page 9. Where you are talking about, you are trying to see that how many gender students are in the system, the applicants. But I it's not clear to me how many disabled students you have. And if you have disabled students, what are the monitoring system on to ever go down to the province where the students are to see if the infrastructure is actually supplementing for these students who are having a disability. I would say you would have taken it anywhere with the students with a disability. And then on page 9, you are actually saying the department managed to reduce the vacancy rate to 7.1%. But you don't say which level, at which level that we've been able to reduce this, because we know that, like I had, that we still have someone 18, there are officials working on this position. And you know that once students fill the senior positions, you won't have any opinion from the issue. So I think it's very, very important for us to know which post the rule money should be and which post a so it's not clear to me as to what is actually happening. And then on very page 7, the key achievement. There I see the average number of data results in 2096 was 74 days. So I don't know how you take that as an achievement. From which numbers? How many days were you at for? Now you are at 84 days. It's not clear as to what is actually.
Thank you, Chair Kassani. My appreciation of the presentation, and just to comment more than to ask questions, because most of the questions that I had thought I would ask my colleagues have covered. I just want to say, on program 3, on the target, the 11 out of 23, and for me it's a concern that almost 50% of the target has not been met. And I've noticed from the first program until the last, there is a difference, but for me, program three is a concern more on the university education program. I want to know what has that been for that. If I could go into each and every program to say, what are the reasons, what are the challenges for the students, you think that almost a day, but when it comes to program three, almost 50%, that is a concern for me. I do take note, DG, that from the department, Ryan is here almost on the volcanic eruption. I don't know why we have waited so long to establish the risk management unit to deal with the protesters. I want to know why did you wait for the worst to happen. Must have been probably the volcanic eruption that made you arrive. And they were establishing, and I want some transparency in terms of what has been the highlights of the cases and why did it take long for you to establish them. Another concerning factor for me are the outstanding digital posts on corporate services. How long have these cases been there? And I do allude to the fact that you had mentioned that you had advertised, but the salaries were not competitive enough to catalyze the people into applying. What are you doing about it? What is it in us for us to do in trying to get, because you need to get those messages to get the structure in place so that you can get very good products for the future of our South African citizens. Also, another compliment on disciplinary measures that you have taken since the holidays, it's for me that's quite good. I also do want to compliment that with all the cries and the complaints that come with NEPFAL, you've managed to increase the funding to 2.2, and we are hoping to see a difference in this. Because recently we just heard in one of our oversights that your payments came only in September. And if they can come as late as September, you wonder what has been happening to your students during the course of the year in terms of getting what is rightfully a tool to get the academic excellence of the learner. So, in the two African words of phrase of Bibi Maguire, we're hoping that we've gone through the teaching problems that we have encountered as a newborn. And as you are now getting into your adult phase, I suppose, and you have matured and started and concerned in terms of what you're doing, your work has been highly commended, it's been highly commendable, especially on the administration of the college that you, in terms of the administration that you have put on other colleges, there has been a difference, especially in our mentioned one, that really impressed me where it was and where it is now, and because of your administration, the infrastructure level in Amtata. That is commendable what sort of systems you have put in place. We were all taken with the support that they have added in terms of the reason they are there and where they are at the stage is because of your support. And I want to say carry on the good work and fix and tighten up for the other schools. Thank you.
The official is not doing a presentation that is responsible for the negative scope of ministerial appointees. I suppose you are referring to appointees into the Council of Ministers. But I think yes, that is in terms of whether that process is actually finalized. We have all those appointees present in all the university councils. The other issue that has always been a question to me is the issue of the kind of certificate you issue after the training of the academic in the quality. I just clarify this to say, when they
are workshops affected with issues that clearly at the end of the day has been compliant or that is responding to the requirements of the master? I'm saying this because I am not sure in which manner the training is given by the lecturers that are not attending, or the training is given by the attendants themselves. The accreditation of the workshop, I suppose, goes concurrently with the kind of qualification that the lecturers is giving to the students. So I think that is the matter of that. My last question, I know with appreciation teaching that you are taking steps and you have been to conduct foreign deposits with regards to elephants. Because this is giving us a lot of problems, and we do not need. We are going to be sitting here awaiting the results of the foreign deposits. Because really, it is true, those funds or the funding should be directed to learners or students that are going to be. So if they are abused in a certain thing, we hope that it's not going to take very long to get the outcome of the foreign deposits so that the whole situation is in direction. And also, the actual administration of the funds in the different institutions in which we live. But my question is that, is there an instrument that you are using to assess the investments that we are making in terms of NSFAS and the output? We invest for so many thousands of students. And what is the output at the end? What is the dropout rate in the measure? Are we not losing our gaining? What about placement? Those that you produce finally are engaged in different industries so that we can see and explain and the Department of Education will really achieve and are contributing to the economy of the country by the product that we can produce. Thank you. I don't want to go for that unless otherwise we can sit here until 3 p.m. It's very important subject. And the members have actually said that if you want to happen, then you all look after. Because whether as previous, which is advantage, second education, we get integrated into the economy of the country, it depends on the quality of product that you produce to get into the economic system of the country. So this is very important. If I were in treasury, I would actually, I don't think, quite a
no, thank you very much. Yeah. I'll pick up on some or a few questions, and my colleagues will come in and see the panel. And also on the comments that honorable members have made, we are really humbled to live with those kind of comments. But on the first question, which I think is among the difficult questions, what you can do to assist the policy? There are quite a number of programs that we put in place with a view of supporting the policy. One is the partnership that we have with South African Institute for South Africa Council, where we identify that in some policies, what they were doing, they would just appoint any post to handle financial matters of the product. For instance, some body who is a graduate, a major in biblical studies, is given a responsibility to manage the funds of the police. We are talking about idiots. So to quote immediately, because yes, we engage with writers and we put them together, qualified chartered accountants, and we place them in all policies. In the first instance, to close that gap, the grant tremendously. The second thing, we launched EG into the college state in order to reinforce the work that is happening there, of one capacity, each and every college to be able to manage finance better.
Now, out of the collating of the information from this like vehicles that are placed in different testimonies aware of the AG, we put that together. And what also transpires in forensic investigation as we conduct ourselves, we put that information together, analyzed and isolated all the critical areas. Then we developed a schedule that had to go to all colleges, which in the name was talking each and every area that has been identified. For instance, government, if I'm talking about what are the set of structures and systems that are missing, we identify those, and in the identification of them, we work out the minimum control measures that each and every college should apply to put in place. That's why, honorable members, at the beginning, I indicated that perhaps it would be better for us to make the schedule available to members so that they can be able to assist us or monitoring what is happening in Peter College. Also, on the question of human resource, which is another problem, there are HR generals that together with SAICA we recruited and placed in colleges as well to close that gap. Because it's HR, no policies, no systems, you see, finances, no policies, supply chain, chaotic, no systems, no control. So we then, after having identified all these areas, developed this schedule in order to report to this challenge. Over and above this schedule, what we are doing, we are developing a monitoring. Now that you're having this schedule, directing you what you should be putting in place in terms of control and routine. How far are you? Are they in place or not? And if they are not in place, what are the risks? So that you could be able to take decided action against colleges who are not complying in regard to the regulations that were after the there. Now, in regard to medical science, colleges are offering academic support in mathematics and first additional language in all our colleges. We may support that. Let's do some work in Portuguese support to the future in the interim. But secondly, the minister established a chat team to undertake a third with the view of establishing foundation phase mathematics and science programs at our children's colleges. And that study is finished. We're working out now the processes of implementation in order to address this gap that we have identified. So also the selection and placement test at the college level should be undertaken right at the beginning of the year. So they should be able to measure or test the ability or the level of a student in terms of understanding math, science, and the programs that are developed to support them to be informed by their shortcomings rather than just being a general field. The context also, if I may ask, is a study which is conducted on impact of NEFAS of students that are being funded. So if we unfold in that better moment, because we want to determine that whether is there a value for money that we are putting into the college in support of this individual student. Now, the question of protest in relation to the accommodation, what we did nothing for the entire country as to where the post-school education and training facilities are in the country to practice. Now, the finding that came out of that study is showing that
in the main, the concentration of these facilities are in urban centers. And as you move further away from urban centers, there is nothing. That then informs us, one, if we are to establish a university, where should we be established? That's how we have identified Northern Cape, Mpumalanga, as well as the Medusa cover being part of the Papua part of Health and Allied Sciences. In Tibet quality as well, we found that in some areas, a student would have to travel a distance of about 330 kilometers to get into the nearest coastal education and training facility. So these 12 new FET college campuses, their distribution are actually informed by that study. Because a college in the name, one of the things it seeks to address is the question of proximity to community. That's why colleges in the main, their campuses are located in community. Because a college should be able to serve the immediate community within which it is located. So the question then of accommodation never becomes a feature previously of the establishment of children colleges. However, what we did as a department to try to mitigate some of the current problems in relation to the question of distance, we created a facility through the policy in which at least outside the radius of 10 kilometers, those to 40 kilometers, colleges should assist students with some amount a month in order to ease traveling to the college. It may not be the full amount, but within the resources of the college, we make that arrangement. That is very important. Though it's abused, it's very difficult to manage. We are reviewing it, but it's not giving us the result that we intended. We thought it was actually addressed in the best way. And you are saying then, beyond 40 kilometers, it becomes quite expensive to commute every day. We rather look at some arrangement of accommodation where we can. So that's what the college is addressing this at the present moment. Now, the question of studies in our basic education system to college or university and what is the resultant effect. What we are doing, honorable members, there is a study we are conducting now on pathways and graduate destinations. It's looking at addressing the question of school to work transition. So there is a couple of longitudinal studies, training studies, that we have embarked on in partnership with Human Sciences Research Council, as well as various research units in our university, in order to actually address this question out of understanding as how it turns out to be at the end of the day. So those longitudinal studies, they are currently unfolding at the present moment. And it's a bit of a multi-stakeholder arrangement, because let us say we wrote them in as well as the association of the university principal, KIFA. They are studies, we active study, in order to address this question of study pathways and graduate destinations in the future. Starting right from school level, and that you say it's the failed or money. Yes, quite important, honorable member. A question of the relationships. Over and above that, we are putting in terms of resources from the national system. We have also mobilized better education and training for folks. Actually make money available for us to assist the students from destitute families to be located and study at our university. And I think the program contribution from the state tax system is in the vicinity of half a billion, 500 million. Apart from also international donors that were consolidated actually assist in alleviating the challenge. And on the third day, I think I emphasize this. On the third day, we are pumping in the city to the tune of 600 plus million. This is about what NEMFAS is doing. It's a lot of money, very combined. But also, universities have got tax free income as well, because they have that income. So there is a lot of money really government is putting, is making available to assist students in the system. The total amount from national fixed funds that is supported in the system, both in the colleges as well as our universities, is in excess of 2.7 billion. It's not a small amount of money. I think we need to emphasize this achievement. The annual report is aligned to the strategic plan, which is stretching up to a 5-year period. And it's based on annual performance plan that we develop all the time. Because we want to have an implementation tool of the strategy that we develop. And the targets that we are talking about are actually reflected in our annual performance plan that we're working for today amongst other people. I think my colleagues will see some of the gaps, but some of the targets that are relatively not so much easy to achieve are more related to people capacity and related activities. I'll ask my colleagues to answer.
Thanks very much, President. I just want to respond on the issue of artisan certificates. I must mention that we do have an issuing authority of all artisan certificates in the country, which is QCQO. And I must mention as well that we do have in the country more than 620 accredited paid test centers, of which 300 of them are for printing companies, because of course of intense work around that area of printing. It means therefore that we do have about 95% of them being owned privately. And then we do have our own, that is at Indem, which is owned by the department. What we do normally, we do what we call audit, because as we're saying that, you know, how do we ensure the quality with regard to the receiving of these certificates? So we do our own audit around the areas of tools, because of course, if you are going to train an artisan, it requires that you must have a specific tools for that purpose. And also, we audit mentors, we added compliance with equipment and also other relevant and legislative arrangements. Let's say Occupational and Safety Act, COIDA, and so on. So it's an area that as a department, as the issue was opening and saying we are paying a particular interest with regard to this area. But of course, our colleges are involved in the theoretical part. And normally, if you are going to train an accident, you must have a workplace in the mainstream place at the workplace. So that's why to rest assured, you the person that we are doing extensive work around this area in ensuring that all those accredited trade health centers comply with the development or production of accidents in the country. Another area perhaps just to mention is that as the department around the list of occupations in demand, as we were mentioning this area as well, we do have a list of scarce and critical skills for the country. On the 27th October this year, the minister has signed the list of 100 occupations that are in demand. That is readily available as well in our website from the 4th November. So it's tablet number 38174. And you'll see, for example, that is that it starts with a medical doctor, a physical and engineering science technician. And last one, it might be packaging manufacturing machine miner. So it does not mean that we're putting that list in terms of priority, but we're saying all those occupations that are there are top 100 occupations that are in demand in the country as we speak. And then, of course, we follow the very intensive and comprehensive process in terms of compiling that is. We look into various sources, GSA reports, 2010, staff and people countries by CITAS, staff skills list compliance by strategic integrated project that we call the FIPS, New Growth Path, Industrial Policy Action, National Development Plan, Human Resource Development Strategy, and various other reflected reports in the country. So that is available in our website as we speak since the 4th of November 2014. Thanks very much, Mr. President.
Please give us the number of the gazette.
It is gazette number 38174.
Thank you,
Jameson. Can I just add that when Dr. Kwame's comment was called 100 occupations high demand, but there was so much demand of the public comment that we dropped 100 and occupations high demand, so there's more than 100 on that particular list. Jameson, there was specific questions made in regards to the structure around comments that were particularly made, and I'm quite grateful for that. And some of them are around how do we structurally arrange our functions in the department. I might just indicate that since 2009, the department is operating on the general grant that we inherited from the Department of Education. Because the way that the functionship was cut, and part of the problem, and this is one of the problems of provincial functionship is also nobody and no mechanism in the state exists that when you cut a function, that you make sure that both the wounds or both sides are filled up. So they don't do that. So the issue is you want to work with half CFO here, or you can't work with half, so one department takes an HR chief director, and this is what happens last year, but the one department takes an HR chief director, the other one takes the CFO. So the branch was split in a ratio of 70-30. 70% went to basic Department of Basic Education, and 30 came to us. And somebody in corporate services. And from that point onwards, there has been no increase in regards to any budget to be able to deal, whether it's corporate services, whether it's hotels, and whether. So, but what an energy is that the branch is supposed to have five chief directors, but the funding we're going to refer to, and that's international relations and legal services, because these are two important particular issues. There are other particular functions, so strategic planning, 10%, all these reports, the annual report,
and the state plan is compiled by a director for strategic planning. And there is a compilation of the reports and reasons as to why. So, for example, in the assessment of which targets will achieve or not is under this particular director. We're just lucky enough to save some money and appoint an education economist for planning. So we're spending a lot of time running the foundations of the information. On research monitoring and evaluation, we do very broad monitoring and evaluation, not necessarily of the branches. And Honorable Member has rightly said, we have to deal with the human issues. We have to do the structural arrangement of a branch if it needs to do monitoring and evaluation of human departments itself. In regards to that, maybe, as you indicated, there is it's a difficult position to fill. It is not defined and mandated properly. Because I mean, I may have tea with Dr. McCrobo, but he's going to probably convince me not to get more A, B, and C. But in addition to that, Chair, we've added a lot of additional functions that do not fit, particularly in other branches, cross hacking. So we're focusing on career development, open distance learning, coordination of the NQF, and these are our directors. So there's a span of about 10 to 11 of these colleagues that there has to be. There was a question of disability. The minister has published a social inclusion policy applicable to all institutions of public comment. He will be finalizing the policy soon. There's also a social, in regards to disability, the minister is in the process of appointing a steering committee on the development of a disability policy framework for the department. I think a very important question. What I did indicate was that we have a very big project for the labor market intelligence project in order to develop the security planning mechanism. The Human Sciences Research Council, we have been appointed to do the labor market intelligence project so that we are able to have information. Part of their work is also to do the longitudinal study. Now, the longitudinal study is very sensitive in terms of a technical study. So we're doing two things. We try to get a unit record for every learner. So if we hire education student, university student, we have their name, we have their ID number, we know what program we're in. But what we do is we'll track them beyond. So we'll be able to track them from school into university, into college, but we don't track them beyond. So this is the study of the HSRC, and the people just met with them last week, put all the resources of the state together, state South Africa, and to suggest a process of a very comprehensive cohort, longitudinal, and second system. I mean, it costs about 31 million a year just to be able to follow up with all those things, because we're going to follow them throughout their life. So I just wanted to share that with what we understand. Thank you very much.
But let me also say, Chair, along the lines that Mr. Patel has reported, we inherited the fourth establishment from the two departments. That is the Department of Education, Department of Labor. So we then had to have one department. So the vacancies that you see there were inherited from the previous department. And they're not necessarily being the post that the department would view as critical, you know, for it to see. So for the last 4 years, we've actually been identifying what the critical post for the department. And depending on that, we then fill those areas where we say there is a need. The process of analyzing the organogram is ongoing. The biggest challenge, I'm sure that you allow me to report here, is that our budget has been set, the conversation budget. I would say by Parliament, so we are not allowed to exceed the current budget that we have for conversation. Yet the needs or the requirements of the department have increased. So the minister has actually said, written to the Minister of Finance, to request for at least a relaxation or for a review of the setting of the budget on compensation, so that we are able to implement the new structure of the department. Currently, we can't implement that structure. So until we get that approval, we won't be able to fill our food, you know, at 100%. Then there was a question around the disciplinary. The target here, Chair, is that we must deal with cases within 90 days. So the 74 that we are reporting is an average, looking at all the cases that we take, and to say how long did it take us in terms of the number of days to resolve those disciplinary cases. But none of those cases is actually at 90 days. Risk management, why late, why this late? Chair, this relates to the clashing of the structure again. When we were split, there was no risk management like into the DHP. It went to DPE. Labor did not come with risk management, and this is a specialized unit. The functions were performed, but within the internal audit unit of the department. The new framework says we must separate internal audit from risk management. Hence, I reported that we did not have a dedicated unit, but we were performing some of the functions. Okay. Will you respond to the
digital post? No, that's fine. Let me speak up before I give the CFO or Dr. Marshall any other thing. Our operational budget was not just kept for 2014-15 financial year. It has been touched by 11.5 million. And it's happening against the background of us inheriting for the same financial year about 8,000 staff from provinces and state schools. So that is basically a huge risk to the department of inability to service those numbers of staff members as they would be migrating from where they are into the department of I'm trying to address this matter as well. But the need is too great. I think the minister has been shaking for the 1st of December. Yeah, these were happening. They are over and above the background that was given by the GDP corporate flips. You asked a critical question, Mvano, responded, but I just want to end as whether our workshops are critical. Not certainly they are critical. But insofar as the development and training of achievement in the country, one of the things that was established was that the training of achievement, checking thereof, what's happening in a very good arrangement. So what we then sort of do in the department, we establish
active and moderating committee, which has sent out about 8 areas of the development of an artist. And over and above that, we then had to standardize the training and the testing of artists for the entire country. Because what has been happening was really a waste. If a modern electrician, for instance, working in the mining environment, that electrician, if it's needed by advancement, is not qualified to work there because the training is not up to scratch, and it's a huge waste for the country. Now, what we have done was standardize the training per cooker. An electrician would be an electrician wherever, irrespective of the location and the application of that training. Because you know electrical work. So that standardization is actually based on that. The time, the resources of the state for an individual. For example.
Thank you, Joseph from DG. I think just to re-emphasize the matter around the budget, and perhaps just to explain the issue around the examination budget specifically. As you noted by Mr. Bell and by the DG, we've inherited budgetary based on the answer department when the department was established, based from the old publication and the new department. The unfortunate situation that we have in the department was exactly during that period that the economic crisis started, and with the result that our baseline has never been adjusted since the establishment of the department in the 2011 financial year. In terms of exams specifically, in old Department of Education, there was already a policy debate between Treasury and the Department of Education on examination services for elite colleges. And as a result, the baseline for examination services were never adjusted. So what we inherited was part of this debate, this reduced baseline, but contrary to that, we received enrollment increases in the TVET colleges, which means that the exams extended as a result of the enrollment increases, but with the same baseline as we had in 2019-2020. And that placed a huge pressure on our examination system. We need to employ examiners, we need to employ moderators. Those have to be paid on an annual basis. There's a lot of trouble that must take place in terms of monitoring of examinations that's being conducted. Exam centers that need to be paid and all those. And it just placed so much pressure on the exams component that we just had to move money towards examinations to ensure that we have enough money to service all the needs in that specific area. So that was part of the big problem, and that's why most of the money that we have, if we have a saving somewhere to do, he first goes to examinations to establish that. Thank
you, Chair. Thank you. Thank you. I'm just going to respond to the suggestion of something that you had asked about in terms of the consultant that has not been made by the university branch. Just in terms of, because some of those targets that have not been made, it's like the same assistance target. And get negotiators through the national team of planning services for the university that negotiation that needs to be taken. And if we take the third one, for instance, that we've got 10,000 and 10,000, you will still come here, come here, obviously, to follow that next year that we're starting. But then, that's how this could be, and various reasons. But looking at various reasons why that happens, one of those reasons could be that due to insufficient funding, the first funding is true. And in terms of this, that the department has put in place a silver application clearing out mechanism to actually ensure that all qualifying applicants will have a clear opportunity in terms of finding placement. Also, in terms of, if you look at the 82 fewer students who will enroll in foundation provisioning programs. That's how the process was achieved. And it is really long-standing focus of the
admitted, including formally. And in with regard to the position of the Netherlands, you can consider the implement test, the allocation of the funds. That this was provided to the information of the government and the administration. And so they will indicate the number of students, different courses that students are actually enrolled in, number of EV college students. So we do have cases to be in place that will provide the allocation, the university allocation to individual students. And in terms of whether we can monitor the dropout rate at this stage, there's no mechanism in place, but DJ has indicated that it's an income.
Thank you very much. Just know what you can expect in my problem. I know that I think that's why I think that we can have to give you the overhead.
I know that they have not yet given them a PhD report. But at least the issue of accreditation came up very strongly. The workshop there, they were saying they're not accredited. Then it's difficult to close up as it. But also the issue of accommodation there. They reported that there's one individual who took over one block of the residential accommodation for his personal use, preventing out to people if that was going to happen. One thing that I wanted to say to you, that was a very, very careful approach to this, the planning, the predetermined target, the AGM races. They were not a viable measure now, but as from next year, I'm sure the CFO is very easy to be qualified for that. Don't budget for things that you know that you're not going to be able to implement or get to your baseline. If you know that you're not going to have money for that, especially the professor mentioned that, don't budget for that. Rather have few targets but measure that you can make it. Thank you, sir.
Just to check with the gentleman whether have they conducted the input study or the intervention done by site? Have you done that previously? Especially the residents on the transfer of still from the state? At the site to the existing college personnel, but their indication that the proposal has been achieved, they want to know that. We can respond to the invitation.
No, we have to report on the continuing applications.
And the partnership yielded to the right account.
In many areas, yes, and the where we felt that we not say we have extended the contract to actually attract those kids.
Thank you very much.
Out after the so
part of the day, thank you very much. This is not the last engagement. When we go to Pretoria, we are going to be popping in to see you and to support. And maybe part of the meeting will be possible. You would like to have pleasure. Because there are also issues that come out in relation to the meeting. Can only be resolved even here, besides the pressure. Mm-hmm. So maybe one of the meetings is important for the process of so that you hear both sides. And then you are sure of the right thing to do.
Thank you so much.